This episode of Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by you. You shop at Amazon.com already, why not do it through our website? It doesn't cost you a cent more than the Amazon.com price, and it helps us out tremendously. Go to tfradio.net and click on the Amazon logo, or just go to tfradio.net/Amazon.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 411, recorded April Fool's Day, 2015. I hate April Fool's Day.
I'm disappointed you didn't introduce... Yeah, I'm disappointed you didn't introduce the show the way I wrote it in the notes.
411, we're going to drop some knowledge on you. Yeah. So for people who actually don't live in the United States, you can dial 411, and apparently you can get information. I've never actually tried that because I think you get charged for it. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, we have Diecast, Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, Chris, a.k.a. XV, Don, a.k.a. Don. Yeah. Rob Clay, and Mr. John DeLuna himself. Folks, hello. How's it going?
Not bad.
So last week, as we all know, I'm addicted to caffeine. I kind of have a problem. So I was really tired last week. So before the show, I popped Hydroxy Hardcore Elite. And by the end of the show, it kind of wore off. So right now, I'm drinking coffee, and I'm working through a liter of Red Bull. It's awesome.
You know, I told you last
liter of cola.
I told you last week you need to do the hydroxy at the end of the info dump segment.
Yeah,
so that it kicks in when we're in the second half of the news.
Well, he can still do that on top of the coffee and the liter of Red Bull.
He can, but I'd rather not watch him have a heart attack live on Skype.
Yeah. Oh, you're the one who wants to watch him do hemo rage again, so
I'm doing that under the implicit understanding he's not going to do other caffeine products or other like stimulants.
You should know better.
Yeah, this is true.
Look, let me have my illusions so that when he dies, I can pretend it's not my fault.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Power of friendship.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So I need to figure out a better way to intro this, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. So on the other Transformers podcast that we have on the network, lots of stuff this week. Chris today just posted an interview with James Roberts, and apparently you grill him pretty hard.
Yes, we talked for quite a while on several things, and I'll admit at a couple points he admitted he was pacing the room.
And that's on Fanboy versus Transformers episode 3.
It is.
And we're going to have... Is next week's episode a double episode? What is that?
Next week is going to be two episodes because there's two comics out. That's basically going to be our format. However many comics release on that week, there's going to be that number of episodes released.
Okay, cool.
So anybody who just wants to listen to, you know, an episode about a particular comic, that's all they have to hear.
So it'll be, More Than Meets the Eye and G.I. Joe versus Transformers?
Number 6, finally.
Sweet. And I host that one?
Yes.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Yes, and both of next week's episodes, we will have Chris Triplett with us.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet. And he should also be at TFCon USA. At least one day.
Whether he wants to or not.
He'll be there for one day.
We'll believe that when we see it.
Chris will be there for at least one day. We promised. Okay, cool. So also we have a new episode of There Goes My Money with Diecast and Don this week. That's a really awesome idea for a show. Somebody could easily steal it from us, so please don't. But I really enjoy that.
Like, everyone talks about the item when, you know, it's announced, but that's not always when it goes up for pre-order. So it's a neat way to kind of remind people in 10 minutes and talk about stuff about what actually came out for pre-order that they can go ahead and pre-order right away.
Yeah. I really like it. It's really awesome.
So I do have to... make a correction to something Don said on the show.
Oh.
When you were talking about Leader Class Ultra Magnus, what you meant to say was you love it and you're going to pre-order it immediately, Don.
It's beautiful.
No, I'm pretty sure I meant what I said, that it's a great figure for people who don't want them in the masterpiece or prefer the IDW for their Lost Light shelf. But for me, it's not something I'm looking for right now.
No, God.
Don kind of hit me by surprise with that one, because I was just like, wow, this is so awesome. And Don's like, I don't like it. And I'm like,
no, I never said that. I'm saying I hate it.
But Don, it's a good toy.
Very nice.
I have a very definitive version of Magnus.
To be honest, I think the engineering between those is going to be pretty similar, except the cab's not going to invert itself in the process because of what it has to do. So, yeah. I think really you're on the right track with this. For people who want IDW or don't want to put down masterpiece money for a toy that big, heavy, and full of metal, it is a perfectly valid alternative, and it's perfectly valid to prefer the masterpiece over it.
Hey, Don.
I'm not going to hassle Don for that.
Oh,
Don,
no.
Don,
I will.
Don,
yes,
so
yes,
you,
yes.
You say you like that. Do you prefer it to Citizen Stack?
I think they both have their own set of charms. I'm still glad I got Stack, because he does have an aesthetic that, and a color, I mean, again, it's Ultra Magnus colors, but he has his own kind of charms, and I'm glad I got him. I do wish I had waited on him now that I've seen the colored, what we got as Magnus. But again, at the time, everything on Magnus did not look right to me. The legs were wrong. There were some other parts. And I thought, when I was at BotCon, I had a good chance to get a good price on Citizen Stack and the last Hearts of Steel Seeker that I needed. It's one of them things. But I have plenty. I have Vance Project City Commander. I have Titanium Magnus visual in the box just for looks. I have Citizen Stack and this. I have plenty of Magnus in my life.
What about Robots in Disguise Ultra Magnus?
I've got him, but he's not.
Even Dawn Magnus. Pretends that one doesn't exist.
He's not this Ultra Magnus. He's not.
Yeah.
He's a different Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
But he's still awesome.
You like your Ultra Magnuses.
Ultra Magni?
Magni.
Well, he's never...
Magnuses. It's Magnuses.
He's not one of my go-to characters, but he's getting really good toys. So, and I appreciate the toys.
And under that qualifier, I see why you left the Robots in Disguise one off.
Yeah. So, this week in our Transformers podcast, we have a new RSC minicast, and John and XV talk about another Combiner Wars figure, which is Leader Megatron.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We talk at length, right, XB?
There's a lot to talk about. It's really it's an interesting topic.
I kind of regretted that we recorded the episode like 2 weeks ago before we ever saw the first pictures of Takara's version of Leader Megatron. And I'm kind of disappointed that that came out before my prediction could be heard, because I basically got it exactly right with what they ended up doing to it.
Boring.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty boring.
Yeah. Silver.
I've seen people on Facebook are painting their Combiner Wars version to look like the Legends Megatron. I'm like, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, we have Being Awesome with Rob Springer. It's all about Alpha Bravo. God, a lot of Combiner Wars stuff. And RC Extra from this past week is a discussion about Jolanta, and basically about how G.I. Joe's dead. And how it needs to reinvent itself like Transformers has.
Well, I mean, Mark Webber from the previously of the Transformers team at Hasbro moved over to G.I. Joe to try to revitalize it and bring it back this year.
Now,
so.
I don't know if I think I had it in the show notes last, or I was going to put it in the show notes last week. Apparently, at JoeCon, Hasbro will be showing off new G.I. Joe product.
Yeah, we'd actually heard that before Toy Fair, because it was basically a dual-purpose statement thing that there was not going to be any G.I. Joe shown at Toy Fair, but when JoeCon came around, they would be making an announcement about the return of the product line.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. So the Facebook contest, as soon as this episode of RSC is done, I'm going to post it. You can win this, holding it in my right hand, Combiner War Silver Bolt. Thanks to Hasbro and Diecast for giving it to us for the contest. Basically, what you'll need to do is like the post, make sure you like our page, and then share it. Share it to a Transformers group, share it to your page, your wall, whatever, but just like the page, like RC and share. Simple as that. So we'll have that up tonight.
And also, if for anyone that had ordered the Combiner Wars Wave 2 from, say, Hasbro Toy Shop, yes, they are shipping. So they,
say,
they are
meaning
shipping
specifically Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yes.
Yes, they are shipping. So, you know, if you've been, and also this is not really noteworthy because I'm not sure how widespread it is, but a large retail chain has today, at least locally for me, has raised the price of Combiner Wars Deluxes to $19.99.
Jeez.
What's the first initial of that chain, Don?
T. And then
that narrows it down a little bit.
Yes.
The second one is oh.
So,
and it may have an oys in it.
Yeah.
So if you have been holding off on the Combiner Wars for some reason, just letting y'all know.
Don't get them at Toys R Us.
Well, or go ahead and at least get the ones you want while they're still inexpensive. Just as a heads up.
Don, nothing's inexpensive anymore.
Yep.
But no, I'm glad you brought up about Hasbro Toy Shop. I was going to mention that before we got into new purchases this week. My set of Deluxe Wave 2 is actually in the air right now and is being overnighted here because the arrival was delayed. So they upgraded all the shipping on the first batch of pre-orders.
Interesting.
So they will still arrive right around when they would have originally. So I'm actually going to have my Deluxes in tomorrow.
Awesome.
Mine are showing that way as well, so I'll finally be able to stop having a one-arm Superion and a hobbled Minasaur.
Well, you're still going to be missing a Superion team member, so.
Well, you know, Don, I mean, all you have to do is pretend that Minasaur is Anakin Skywalker.
No, I like the toy. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so speaking of, anybody get anything cool this week?
I got something really cool.
You go ahead. I'll let you go first. You have the coolest.
I got Fans Toys. And several.
Oh, he is so beautiful. Nice. I cannot wait till the regular ones come out.
Which is a test shot, which Fans Toys provided to me to review. And I can't even tell it's a test shot. The thing is absolutely amazing. Like, there's nothing really that I can complain about with this figure. And I even found an alternate transformation in the video. You can kind of pull the tail up or down a little bit, just how you want to pose him. So they can go down a whole click, where you can kind of raise that up, and the backpack can still fit over it to kind of give him a more bulkier look or have those sit a little bit higher on his back.
Cool, cool. I think I got basically what everyone else got, which was Masterpiece Star Saber. And it's super pretty. It is a Masterpiece Star Saber figure for sure. And sure, it's going to sit on my shelf for the next 15 years and probably never be touched again. Don, I asked you this before. Are you a little depressed that this could have been Masterpiece Super Fire Convoy?
As I said, anything that's not Masterpiece Fire Convoy is a disappointment because it is just that awesome. Star Saber has always been a cool character. It's not basically he's Ultra Magnus to me. He just flies instead of drives. It's the same basic concept.
Kinda, yeah. That's awesome. I've never thought about
it
that way.
Yeah. Well, I've seen pictures too where people have like taken apart their Ultra Magnuses and their Star Sabers a little bit and swapped the core pieces. So you get Star Saber with Ultra Magnus's chest and Ultra Magnus with Saber inside.
Yeah. So on the show this week, of course, we have news, This Week in History, and we're going to have a discussion about a news item, which we'll get into a little bit later. But spoilers, the Transformers movie universe. And we'll round out the show with an interview with Colin, the organizer of TFCon, Colin Douglas. So we'll round out the show with that. Let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. On this very day, in 1998, the Beast Wars 2nd cartoon premieres in Japan with the episode The New Forces Arrive. Yeah. Oh, actually, you know, I have to say, this was unintentional, but I'm pulling an XV. I happen to have the DVD of that right here. So
now you realize when I pull stuff out like that, just because it comes up in conversation, it's also unintentional.
Yeah, but I just happen to have that. That was yeah. unintentional. I found it yesterday when I was cleaning out my toy room. I'd been looking for it, so I sat it aside here. But yeah, you know, Beast Wars 2nd sure is a cartoon.
And yeah, maybe one day someone will care enough about it to actually like subtitle it, so the rest of the world can actually figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I would be interested in watching the Japanese Beast Wars cartoons if someone would actually do a translation on them. I know there's the DVDs came out like Kilby has there. I'm not interested in watching the series untranslated, though.
Wasn't there a project for a fan sub like several years ago?
Maybe.
I mean, people fan sub everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, just recently someone did like a full resub of Car Robots and included a lot of like supplemental materials in the translation too.
Interesting.
So I mean, it happens and it's still something that's ongoing. It's just you need people that are going to be interested in it and stay interested long enough to actually complete the project.
The problem with Beast Wars 2 and Neo is they're so with Master, again, back in the 90s when I was trading Kmart Legends Bumblebees VHS copies of Master Force of Victory. But watching them raw, you could still get a gist of what was going on.
Yeah, it's a show made for 5-year-olds, so it's not like it's really
But Beast Wars 2 and Neo, you have no idea what the hell is going on no matter what.
This makes me think of something. Gabe Recharge, who has been on RFC, who did our MMA podcast, friend of mine, love him dearly. He was stationed in Japan when Beast Wars 2nd was first airing, and his then girlfriend, now wife, is Japanese, and he was making her translate this for him as she was watching it, and she. She did not enjoy that. I'll put it that way. she felt like it was a total waste of time. So I think it was Chris or Don One said that it was for kids, and sure was.
Yeah.
Totally for
also,
kids.
Also, I'm insulted now you couldn't remember me and Don being different.
Sorry, I was too busy downing caffeine. So let's go
ahead. Well, Chris, in another 25 years, that could be you.
I'll have more hair.
No, probably not.
But you'll never look this good.
That's true.
No, actually, there is not a history of hair loss in my family, so I probably will still have my hair.
Hair runs in my family, too, but mine's sure going away. I was the outlier. Hey, so let's jump into the news. Hey, so remember how everybody wanted a blue Masterpiece Blue Streak? Well, now you're getting it.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yes.
I mean, what a world we live in. Like, just last week, we got Masterpiece Star Saber, literally just last week, and now we're getting an actual blue streak Transformers product.
And it's something longtime collectors have always heard of the rumors about, and it's so nice. It may not be a G1 blue streak or Diaclone version, but it looks awesome.
I pre-ordered it.
Beautiful. I also like what they did with the name, too, because, the character is called Streak in Japan. Mm-hmm. So for this, they called the toy Blue Streak.
That's pretty great.
And I like we're getting actual missiles for him instead of the little funky things that the Dotson brothers came with normally.
And they also mix and matched on the mold a little bit, too. Like, it has Prowl's head and lower torso, I think.
Yeah.
But it's the civilian car model. It's not the police model.
Yeah.
It looks great.
I'm interested by that they actually did go in and swap parts around to make something a little bit more custom, more unique from just being a stock repaint of, normal Blue Streak.
Well, they probably saw how badly Tiger Track sold as far as an exclusive.
Maybe... Is he still available?
It's not expensive.
I mean, you get it for $30. Yeah, it's the knockoff. Yeah. I remember a Tiger Track is the first one that I saw knocked off. I'm like, how are they selling this for $30? This is amazing.
You know, it's like you almost went into your Star Dub voice there.
Almost.
You almost went into your Star Dub
voice. I didn't do this. How did they do this? This is amazing. Okay. But yeah.
But you know, that definitely is going, that's just a gorgeous looking figure, and I cannot wait to get that one.
Yeah.
I don't want the masterpiece, but I'd like just, you know, a new Dotson Classics mold and get it done in those colors at least once.
It will be the fourth time I buy this mold.
Well, you and me both, because
I just pre-ordered it.
Me too. I pre-ordered it as soon as I saw it.
I pre-ordered it for my phone.
Yep.
I was eating a donut, was like, donut down.
The donut will be there 5 minutes later. Yeah. It might not.
Exactly.
So
this is limited to 2,000 pieces total. Like they've opened pre-orders in advance of the actual production, but besides the time limit for the pre-order cycle, there is an actual 2,000 unit limit on it.
That's pretty cool.
Whatever happens first, 2,000 units or April 10th, I think it gets closed.
Oh wow! Well, definitely have to have that. Especially at that price, you know, it's totally worth it.
Yes. You know what else that only has a pre-order that closes in April?
Oh, no.
Metro Titan.
Dystopia.
Which we mentioned. All right, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I get it. I need to buy it.
I'm trying to get them to leave you alone, Brian, but they won't listen. They won't listen to the better angels of their nature.
Don, when do we ever listen to you?
Yeah.
So I mentioned it on Twitter this weekend. I broached the subject of buying Dystopia to my wife, and she did not punch me in the face.
Did you tell her how much it cost?
I told her how much it cost.
What? Okay, so like, yeah, I understand she didn't punch you in the face. What was her reaction when you brought this up to her?
She was like, she basically said, if you can keep to your agreement, which is my net zero, like, you know, I'm not spending any money, I'm basically getting rid of stuff to pay for it. She's okay if I do that. So
basically it seems like she doesn't care what you do with your toy budget as long as you stay in your toy budget.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right.
That sounds great to me.
It's totally fair.
It's
totally fair. It's awesome.
Yeah. That sounds perfectly fine to me.
Yeah, I don't want to piss away my life savings on toys, you know.
So. No, or your marriage.
Or my marriage, more importantly. So definitely,
but
yeah.
Marriage, mostly life savings, his life savings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, those, you know. So moving on.
Yeah, so we'll talk about
this. So this is happening, right?
Maybe, yeah.
In summation.
He's trying.
We'll see. TFRadio.net/Amazon. So,
Finance Kilby's dystopian future.
Paramount is eyeballing Transformers Cinematic Universe, okay, and enlists Akiva Goldsman to head the writer's room. And, oh, I missed this part. Is Bay going to direct Transformers 5?
The way the article is phrased, it suggests it. Nothing else, Transformers 5 is not going to proceed until he is done with its current project.
Oh, God.
So, like, you know, you know, Michael Bay's whole thing for, you know, saying he would probably pass on another Transformers movie is he had another project in mind he wanted to do. But if they're going to hold up production because they really want him to be the director, then, you know, that and a sack full of money, he's going to come back.
Just like last time with
Battleship.
Yeah, the time before.
Last two times.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping they would get someone new, like, say, Brad Bird, who did
like
Iron
Anybody.
Sky. Yeah, but
anybody. Literally anybody.
Anybody. Except maybe M. Night.
No, I would take him at this point.
I would take what Shyamalan would do with it. I would take what George Lucas would do with it. Just
I would
anyone
watch.
Who is not Michael Bay.
I would watch a Shyamalan Transformers movie just to see what would happen.
Yeah, to see what the twist was?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not it.
Well, no, because, like, you know, he did the live-action Avatar The Last Airbender movie, and there wasn't a twist in that because it wasn't his original story.
Yeah.
So I think the same thing would be true of Transformers. No, I would just want to see how, you know, M. Night Shyamalan's... Well, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Let's yeah. Okay.
Well, we've talked about this. We talked about the alternate director thing so many times.
Yeah, we've thrown that baby out of the bathwater.
We beat the ground with that dead horse.
Basically, it boils down to anybody but Bay.
Okay, so Robots in Disguise will be. Is it the next McDonald's Happy Meal promotion?
I believe so. Yes.
That's cool. I always love Happy Meals. and Transformers, and when they come together, it's fantastic.
However,
you know
what,
the best one still, the best one still is the Beast Machines Happy Meal promotion.
You know, I skipped it. I got the Transmetal promotion, but I skipped Beast Machines.
Because Beast Machines had a pretty big lineup, and, you know, it was all transforming toys and pretty decent, too.
There was a Wendy's promotion back in the 80s that the Transformers, I think they used GoBots, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. I actually have one of the Wendy's GoBots somewhere.
Man, I want those.
Yeah. And, but what's interesting is they don't include Strongarm or Steeljaw.
Yeah, and I noticed that.
And it's like, okay, you're not even putting the only girl character in the
movie. Well, okay, series. That part I can understand.
It's the, I hate to say it, but it's the boys' toy, and they're, yeah.
Yeah, especially since it's a split with My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Right. This is the Hasbro product Happy Meal cycle, so there's Pony and Transformers, depending on customer preference.
Oh,
I don't think they actually characterize it as boy and girl Happy Meals anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to get a My Little Pony colored as Strongarm. It's going to be like an arm lifting a barbell or something as their cutie mark.
Don, you know way too much about this.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move to the next item then. So we have new Robots in Disguise product images. Hyperchange, Steeljaw, Mega One Step, Optimus Prime, Minicons, Deployers, and more. Lots of pictures of Robots in Disguise stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the Minicons still interest me a lot. I want to get a couple of those. You know, they're doing kind of like the Fall of Cybertron data discs were, where it's different form robots, but they all conform to one of two alt mode shapes.
Yeah.
So, you know, working in that framework is always, that's always an interesting concept to me.
I like the package, of course, art.
Since these aren't spring loaded, they're probably going to be better in general.
Yeah, they have to be. I do love the packaging art though. They are cute. They're kind of SD, which makes sense since they're Minicons.
Yeah, I guess.
I like that.
I would like, you know, the Deployers have, you know, window box packaging, but the figures, I think, are still around deluxe size. Looking at the Takara Legends figures, such as Rob's Windblade that I'm holding on to for a larger shipment later, I know the bubble and backing card is the common style we're used to here, but I'd really like to see a transition to those boxes. I don't think there'd be like a lot more material cost to that, and it would stand out more. I really like the way Takara does the smaller stuff in boxes instead of always on cards. There's just something more interesting about it.
Yeah, I don't know. So this is a really super Bumblebee. Man, that's so super. I really like this Bumblebee, so I don't mind seeing a lot of Bumblebees, but I don't know. I probably won't be buying this one.
Bees, my God.
So is this the $20 price point, or what's the price point on this? Just the...
Not sure.
The three-step. So is it the same three-step that, like, that...
Yeah. We've got them at my local Walmart. Optimus.
You have Optimus and Grimlock. Bumblebee. But this is a different. This is also Bumblebee. So this must be a different price point.
There is a 19-inch three-step Bumblebee.
Okay, so this is a larger price point, or yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either way, so it doesn't matter. I have vowed to buy every single Grimlock that comes out, though. So hopefully they won't beat him to death like they have Bumblebee. So. Yeah. So we have that. We also have new Legends series Megatron pictures, which we talked about a little bit before. Boring.
Yeah, they took most of the interesting color additions out.
And of course, for people who don't know, Legends is the name that they are giving, I guess, Combiner Wars in general.
No. Combiner Wars is Unite Warriors. Legends is their current iteration of Generations.
They're Chug, basically. Okay. Dang, I always lose track of that crap.
It's easy to do.
And of course, that doesn't count the Generations stuff that's getting shoehorned into Transformers Adventure either.
See, that's the thing. There's always crossover. So I would half expect to see some Robot Masters stuff, or, you know, even I mean, for God's sakes, you know, like with Universe, we even had G1 crap thrown in, into the mix. So,
well, I believe they did do some Legends Robot Master reissues in.
At, they did.
Like, yeah, at like a big Transformers show in Japan, reissued Robot Master Optimus Primal, among others.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The 4 liter figures.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track. But he's boring, so there you go. I think so. I mean, I'm just, you know, just my opinion. So something not boring, something beautiful that I love and want to marry. Yes, I actually want to marry a leader class Thundercracker. It's beautiful. It is a thing of beauty.
I mean, I'm surprised you're that big on it.
It is so much nice. I know, but I don't know. It is so much, like, now that we have these new photos, I have fallen in freaking love with it.
I mean, it looks nice. I just, I'm not really seeing where you're getting that reaction.
Jet mode.
Yeah.
The jet mode is exactly what I want.
Okay.
Because I'll be honest, I think this will look absolutely stunning in Skywarp colors.
I want it in Skywarp colors. I want it in Starscream colors. I want it in all colors.
Starscream colors.
We'll get it in. Oh, we'll get it in Skywarp too.
Okay. I want it in Takara's Sunstorm colors.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that would be kind of nice.
Like if nothing else happens after Thundercracker and Starscream, it has to be Takara Sunstorm colors. Solid orange, white, a little bit of black, not the like yellow that Hasbro tends to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we've got this before, but something has just clicked. I want it.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's beautiful. Need it. I certainly need that. Let's see here. So leader class Ultra Magnus, Don's wrong, and this is glorious.
I never said it wasn't good. It's just not something that I need in my life right now.
Now here's
exactly
the other
you're
thing
wrong because you do need this.
Don, you're single. Yeah. You need to play the field. You can have multiple Ultra Magnuses. It's okay.
Here's the other thing that I forgot to mention. People are kind of saying that it's possible that this may ship with Thundercracker in a, you know, a one-to-one case.
No, I believe... Okay, so like Ultra Mag... There's been pre-orders with Thundercracker up for a little bit already. Ultra Magnus just went up recently by itself. If it was an assortment, there would have been another figure... in the pre-orders with it. I think, you know, Megatron and Armada Megatron shipped together because I think that was being considered differently internally, but otherwise the leaders have been going in solid pack cases.
I wish they would ship together in a case. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, pretty nice. Want it. Don's wrong. Let's see here. So, we have quite a bit of BotCon news. This is a pretty big surprise.
Well, it's that time of year.
Frank Welker is actually going to be at a BotCon. He's going to be at a convention about Transformers.
Yes.
Yes, and Funpub is selling a whole separate tier of admission.
A Frank Welker package, yes.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make fun of JD. I love JD, but you remember when he... He was one of the however many people to get the session with Peter Cullen, and he got Peter Cullen to autograph that. Was it the Revenge of the Fallen leader class Optimus Prime? It was something.
It probably was because I don't think Dark of the Moon was out yet.
It was a very high price point Optimus Prime, and he ended up trading it for that reissue G1 Ratchet, which goes for like $20
and something else.
Yeah, poor JD. When I got that stuff from Don, which he got from Amanda to sell for JD, I had to chuckle a little bit when I pulled that out of the box.
I was also thinking too, since they're like selling a Frank Welker experience package, which I believe is actually what they're calling it, above and beyond the golden ticket level, I couldn't help but also think of JD and the front row.
Yeah.
You know, but this is something we've been trying at BotCon. Well, here I am. I'm using the royal we, I guess. But, you know, John and Carl tried. Glenn tried. Funpub has been trying. Welker is just so busy, he did not have time to even pencil one in. And so them getting him this year is going to be a major plus to anybody who's been wanting to meet him.
Like, I don't really care. There's, like, nobody that I care to meet that I haven't met already. But it might be interesting to, if he's going to speak at, like, a panel, that would be something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that the panel's going to be moderated, which I'm glad, because as much as I would love to sit there and hear requests and him do a variety of his voices.
At the McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah, but I'm saying that'd be cool to hear all these different voices, but we wouldn't get any stories.
Was it Hal Rail that at Charticon, he was talking about how terrible the panel was? And I asked him if somebody had asked him to do his characters at a drive-thru. He's like, yes, were you there? Like, I think it was Hal Rail that did that. It was pretty funny. Not that the panel's terrible, but, you know, you have to moderate those things. Otherwise,
Yeah, and, like, just because it's moderated, like, I don't think that rules out hearing Welker do some of his voices. Oh, it's just going to be, you know, controlled how much of it there's going to have happen and, like, what the context is going to be, too. Because, like, I remember at BotCon 2012, David Kay and Gary Chalk were up at the same time, and there were some, let's just say, colorful requests coming in from the audience that they were, you know, rattling off their responses to, and some of that just kind of had me, like, you know, side-eyeing the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. So, other BotCon news. Oh, yeah! So, Packrat. There you go. That was no surprise whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it does look good.
It does. I don't know if I'm going to get the set or not. Has anybody got any really good guesses as to what the theme is supposed to be?
Well, it's supposed to be like an Ocean's 11 kind of.
Yeah,
but I mean, is there like some sort of thread that ties everything together?
No. Well, okay. I mean, there's. I'm getting some feedback on my audio. There is. FunPub's Axiom Nexus Transtech setting, which basically lets them tie together any toys they want to with that as a common thread.
Oh, you mean so, like Machine Wars? Sorry.
No, that was a different fictional universe FunPub maintains.
No, just that Machine Wars wasn't very Machine Wars, but...
No.
So where's Packrat from?
BotCon.
Oh, yeah, BotCon 97.
Okay.
Yep. And for those people who can't afford the Fractal Packrat 2-pack set from 97, at least they'll be able to hopefully pick up one of these, you know, at least aftermarket to have the character.
So, okay. So, just thought off the top of my head here. You know, they've got the Stealth Bomber Megatron mold that they're using as croc for the subscription set. What do you think the chances are getting that as an add-on in Fractal colors at the show? Because, I mean, there's nothing they can use in Terrorsaur's place because, I mean, well, I get unless they want to dig out Cybertron Brimstone, but I kind of doubt that.
Do you think they would use movie Swoop or movie...
They probably can't.
Yeah.
They probably can't. There's always been the provision for the on-screen characters that those designs can't be used outside of a movie line because of the...
Right.
Because... at least at one point, like, DreamWorks co-owned the screen designs.
Okay, because, I've known about the cars and the licenses for years since the movie started, but the Dinobots being so wholly different than anything else, I didn't know if that would apply or not. They might could use the Strafe mold for Fractal.
And to be honest, you know, rules change all the time, so what we knew... 5 years ago may not still be the case today, but until the evidence comes up, kind of like how we used to treat the idea of retooled toys and what the limits were on that, you know, we held to that as the rule until something happened to prove otherwise, like it's happened over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that turns up in Fractal colors, we'll know, oh, hey, they can do that now.
But they could use the Scourge mold.
Scourge mold? They could. I'm just thinking since they already have that Stealth Bomber Megatron mold on the line, you know, swap the plastic colors out, change the head mold again, and, you know, that's what made me think of that, just because that's something that they actually have active at the factory being produced.
But I'll be honest, though, we never got an actual fractal from the Transmetal 2 Pterosaur. He was in the comic.
I wonder if that Transmetal mold is still kicking around where they could get to it.
Because I would love to see that's not my favorite mold, but in fractal colors, it would definitely be not only would it be a good BotCon piece for this year, it would be a character from the past comic that we did not get a toy
yeah.
for. Captain Rufus in the chat's asking about if it could be Animated Swoop, maybe.
You know what? That's
not a bad idea.
Which is kind of sad because I have one sitting on a shelf right over there, and I didn't even think of it.
So, also moving along, so we're getting a Nova Prime figure. Did we know about that? Is this going to be part of?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes, we knew about that.
Okay, I don't remember
whether
this
we cared or not is a completely different story.
Okay,
so like when they announced Leo Convoy as the membership freebie figure,
this was
mentioned at the same time, yeah. but
it was overshadowed.
Nobody paid it
because
this is one you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can live without that.
I forgot.
Like, I completely forgot about it.
Well, and the thing is, like, it's a very, very stark difference between that and Leo in terms of the deco. You know, Nova Prime is not super interesting looking.
Yeah.
No, I like Leo much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really quickly, just a brief mention, we have photos of Subscription Service 3.0, Carzap, and Croc.
I love Carzap.
I still want.
I must
Croc.
Get me a
Croc looks better.
I must get me a Carzap.
I appreciate Carzap.
GB Blackrock.
Yeah,
I appreciate Carzap for what it is. I'm just not interested in owning it.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pay a high price for a use of that mold, it's going to be Ghost Shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghost Shooter is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping I can pick that up for about half the price of Ghost Shooter.
Good luck with
Maybe?
That. Maybe. Probably not. Maybe in three years.
So, like, the last round of subscription stuff, only a couple pieces seem to go for a distinctly higher price than, you know, just chopping up the set evenly. And this set doesn't seem to have a lot of high draw pieces. I think Croc's actually, like, the biggest draw for people in general out of this match.
Serpentor OR, yeah.
That was until people saw the actual production sample.
Yeah, the production colors don't look nearly as good as those.
They don't.
I still want it, though, but yeah. Disappointment.
You know what I want more? Dystopia. So you can help me out. Go to tfradio.net/Amazon, and you can help save my marriage and get me a Dystopia. That's what I'm saying. Now, it helps keep the podcast on the air. The stuff you're already joking about using that toward Dystopia. We're using that, maybe. We're using that toward, of course, funding the podcast, equipment, you know, events, chances to get together at conventions and do things. So just go to Amazon through our website. Go to tfradio.net, and we have a little Amazon widget on our site. And you can either click on the Amazon logo, you can search using the box and hit go, whatever you want to do. We even have a Transformers store that is fulfilled through Amazon. You can click on the RFC Transformers store link, but the stuff costs exactly what it would cost you going directly to Amazon, costs you no more. And Amazon sends us a little bit of coin our way just for referring you there. Helps us out a lot, like a lot. So like this month, for the first time ever, because we haven't been doing ads or anything. Didn't have to pay for the site out of pocket. Pretty sweet.
Very nice.
First time ever. Literally, I have been hosting the podcast for 16 years. In 16 years, paying out of pocket. Didn't have to this year. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, one thing I want to mention with the Amazon connection is that they do have Transformers Victory for 2067.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
So if Star Saber is a character that you're not familiar with, or you've not seen Victory subtitled, they have it available for 2067 at Amazon.com. It says it's in stock, but may take an extra 1 or 2 days to ship. I guess because of the Easter holiday, they're busy or something.
It's at Amazon.com. It's at tfradio.net/Amazon.
No, I'm saying Amazon has to stop.
Yes. So, no, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, help us out. Don's got a great suggestion. We should start doing that each week. We should start doing, like, a recommended purchase. So, first week is, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Victory.
I'll start making a list.
Oh, God.
I also got risers. They're, like, three-tier risers that I can display my Transformers
Cupcakes.
Figures on. They were like $8 a piece or something on Amazon. So there's stuff for your collection that you can find on Amazon to really help elevate it.
That's awesome. I love that idea.
Also, if like you're undertaking an interest in photography for the first time and you're looking to, you know, step up your equipment for photographing toys, there's all kinds of supplies on Amazon that you can get. And a lot of time, it's the best price you can find on some of that
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, just go to tfradio.net, click on the little Amazon logo on the widget, or go to tfradio.net/Amazon, and I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Help finance Kilby's dystopian future.
Yeah, admit that too. Help save my marriage.
That's our slogan this week.
Save my marriage. Okay, tfradio.net.
No, dystopian future.
Dystopian future.
Yeah, help him make it not a failed colony.
Yes. Omicron Theta?
No, that was Data's colony.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought he was talking about, a failed colony.
Tasha Yar's.
Okay.
Remember, she came from a completely failed colony?
Oh, okay.
There were rape gangs.
Thank you.
TFReady.net/Amazon. Okay.
I was
100% rape gang free.
Okay, so third party. So I have no idea what this is. DQ001 Baby Lock, which is a G1 style Grimlock?
Grimlock.
Corlock is the actual name.
No, not that.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Let me find it.
It's
transforms. Okay. Hang on. I did not see this. I'm sorry.
No, it does not seem to be a transforming figure. From
so
what we can tell.
Okay. Oh man. So I don't want to like the third party stuff that seems like it should just be licensed stuff.
Like this.
Like I don't get it. Like I get like Sever and stuff like that. People
right.
want masterpiece style, you know, versions or new versions of old characters. But, like, you could, I'm certainly have, like, an SD Grimlock that you can go buy, like a Robot Heroes or something.
It wouldn't really be, like, this is a little poseable figure, though.
Yeah.
Man.
It's kind of like those, what are the one, Loyal Subjects.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. If anybody was going to do it officially, that it would be them.
Yeah, like, I just don't get this. I mean, it's cute. But,
I mean, like, you know, points to those people for producing the kind of thing they're interested in producing and not necessarily just catering to what they think will sell the best because everybody wants to buy it. I mean, you know, points for actually doing their own thing and not just going with the crowd. But, like, I agree with you that, you know, this could just as well be a licensed thing. I don't see why it needs to be an unofficial product.
Yeah. So, next item is Toy World D-03 Corlock. New images of not Grimlock Combiner. I saw this all over my Facebook feed this weekend, and it does nothing for me.
Me neither.
I mean, the one thing I
noticed by looking at it, its neck looks too long, but it looks like there's a seam on the neck where it can turn. If they would have made that gray... That one thing, it wouldn't have made his neck look so long, and it might look a little bit nicer.
His chest reminds me too much of Big Convoy for some reason. It's just like, this just looks, it just looks off. And the problem is, it has an amazing Masterpiece Grimlock to compete against. Sure, Masterpiece Grimlock doesn't combine with anything, but...
But I'm not sure this is technically meant to be a Masterpiece-grade figure.
It looks really nice, but it, I mean, as far as, like, the... Like the plastic and build quality goes, I don't know how big it is, but as far as like a complete package, it just looks off. It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, there is something off looking about, and I'm kind of attributing that to the fact that it has to do this, that, and the other because it has to combine and be the torso and hold everything else up.
And the Dino mode looks like an updated version of the Pretender's Grimlock. So, I mean, it has that going against it, too. So,
I'll have to be honest, guys. I like this. Now,
I am not surprised, Don.
Now, you know,
Don, you're killing me.
Well, I mentioned this on TFYLP when this came up last week. you know, I'm collecting the fans' toys, so that's my choice of size and aesthetic. But down the road, if I see a good sell on these, or I'm able to have some good eBay sales, because I've always wanted a Dinobot combiner, and I like the aesthetics of these. It's just I want big Dinobots, and I cannot lie. But
you other brothers can't deny.
But I do like.
Don
I do
walks
like,
in with an itty bitty waist and a Dinobot in your face. You get. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, okay. So since Don brought this up, I want to bring something up. I want to put something in the group here. So like, setting any concern of cost aside, like, you know, just assume you have the money to get whatever. Of all the Dinobots that are out there, what would be your manufacturer of choice? Because everyone's a little bit different. Everybody brings something else to it that the others don't necessarily. What would your Dinobots of choice be?
Fans Project.
Yeah.
Fans Toys right Fans here. Toys.
My Fans Project, not Sludge, is pretty awesome.
Rob, do you have an opinion?
Actually, no. I can't keep various third-party Dinobots separate, so no.
John, how about you?
I can tell you that I don't...
I'm speechless.
I can tell you that I don't want a Dinobot combiner.
Yeah, same here. I do not want my Dinobots to combine.
I would be going with Planet X, I think. The ones that are doing the War for Cybertron style ones. Because, all told, those have the best, most consistent design style between them and are the most interesting looking to me for what they're doing. Like, I don't need a whole team of Masterpiece Dinobots at all. And I like War for Cybertron Grimlock as an update to that design in concept. And, you know, I like what Planet X has been doing with the few pieces they've actually managed to get out so far.
Yeah. Yeah, Fans Project, awesome. Yeah. I really like those. Yeah. So, Don, why do you want a Dinobot combiner? What is it about a combiner that Dinobots just, that does I've, it for you?
I've always wanted one just because I thought it's the only real sub-team of five Autobots that doesn't combine. And I always thought, wouldn't it be funny in canon, is does Constructicon show up and they merge and they think they're going to beat the Dinobots' butts, and then Grimlock yells for them to combine. And you just have this one-on-one slugfest between some of the smartest Decepticons and some of the dumbest Autobots. And it's just... They're
Don.
Just, you know, it's
Don.
Yes.
I want you to do something right now. Go to TF Wiki. Look up the Beast.
The Beast?
Yes.
Yes.
You will be disappointed.
Okay. All right. Let me do this.
I'm doing that too because I don't know.
Finally, the wiki pays off.
Oh, I'm sure Chris McFeely loves to hear that, John. Chris,
okay.
Chris, we love you. Don't ever change.
Oh, he won't.
The Beast doesn't seem to bring it up anymore.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Does it not?
What?
Let me see if they changed the name of the thing or has it been disowned.
Don't know.
Disowned.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and jump ahead to the next item.
Well, damn.
So didn't we talk about this before? Superion and Minasaur pre-order parts? These are different ones.
It's the same one.
We talked about it this week.
But I think the pre-orders are new.
Yeah, the pre-orders went up after the show last
time. Oh, yeah.
For, like, the heads?
Oh, I actually completely didn't even... I don't think I even saw the Superion, but Minasaur is definitely the same. Okay, so you can pre-order it. Yay. I'm not buying it. Yeah. Let's see.
I really want the Minasaur one, I think.
I'm not getting any of the hands or feet. I'm not getting anything for Superion, but I am getting the hip upgrades for Minasaur.
Yeah, I don't need the hands or feet. I think... The designs and the ideas behind them are neat. I don't need them though. The Minasaur upgrade though feels like something I need to make the toy work how it should.
So next item, a reformatted Anarchus prototype of Mastermind Creations Decepticon Justice Division, the DJD member Kaon.
Yay.
And it's nice looking.
For as much as you can really make out in these films.
I'm certain it'll be a nice toy.
Yeah. Do one. Oh, yeah. There's a colored rendering of him or drawing of him out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they show that at TFCon Chicago?
That sounds right. And Voss is supposed to be out soon.
Yeah, I know they had Voss. I don't
Yeah, there's like box art of him. I read on their Facebook they had a delay because of his instructions. There was some printing error.
They didn't actually fit in the box, so they had to have them reprinted.
Whoops. Well, they're scissors, so.
Oh, they're folding.
Yeah. Do that.
Yeah. I actually have this figure on pre-order, so there will be a review going up of it.
Cool.
Greg had posted this in the chat, so.
Yeah, provided Hasbro does do their own, like, five, and that's doubtful at this point, I'm all about this set from Mastermind.
Yeah, I don't really think Hasbro is going to merchandise the Decepticon Justice Division. Just guess.
It'd be awesome.
That'd be funny if Funpub did it for a set. That's five of them.
I would want it. I would want a voice
Combiner
chip.
Combiner Wars recolors from Funpub.
Huh. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
This is disappointing.
I told you.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a Dinobot combiner, and that's the result. No, it can be so much more awesomer.
Yes. And this was sanctioned fiction, Don.
Yes, this is canon. Was
that Dreamwave?
I don't think it was directly Dreamwave. Like, same era, but I believe it was produced independently.
Yeah, I think it was...
It was pack-in material for something.
Yeah, with, I think, Australian DVDs.
Be careful what you wish for, Don.
DVDs, excuse me.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. Also, let's see here. Also,
that's our TF Wiki spotlight for this week.
Yes.
I would love for McFeely to bring that back, but that's just me. So, also on T-Formers, Rob, tell us about it.
Okay, well, XV and I got together and did a analysis of play with this too and what went wrong and what we'd like to see them do if and we hope when they try again.
So I didn't mention this in the news, but the Play With This 2 Kickstarter was not funded.
Yeah.
It came close, but it didn't quite make it.
Yeah, it got within like $8,400 of it, and there, like I said, there are some things that we think they could maybe do a little bit better next time. We went into some detail on that on T-Formers. Mm-hmm. Also, for April Fool's Day, I do not like subterfuge for April Fool's Day. I like being silly. We reviewed the Walgreens Easter Basket Fans Project toys.
Not subterfuge, subversion.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, it looks like Masterpiece Star Saber was the top-selling toy in Japan last week. So.
Interesting.
At least according to this one site that does toy ranking charts.
But it was
an interesting little news item. So I posted that last weekend.
So what would be the next likely toy if they go back in this? I mean, Diatlas isn't going to be a big seller in Japan.
Boy,
he got what, one episode? So uh-huh. I mean, it's not like that's going to be a big seller. So who's left?
Well, Victory Leo is the obvious one.
I bet he's not going to. I mean, let me look at his feet. I guess they could probably figure out a way. Yeah, they could make it work.
Ports on there that aren't being used for anything on Star Saber, so people are thinking that's like, for Leo Convoy.
I believe I have also seen some pictures, though, of people using the original Victory Leo, and it does mostly work.
Neat.
Yeah.
Dezeris Overlord.
And the thing is, too, like... The way Victory Leo works, you know, it's shoes and a backpack. There's nothing complicated about that. It's really easy. Even if there is no plan right now to actually make a Victory Leo, it's not hard to make Star Saber with the compatibility it would need to make that work later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's...
wait for that G-Defensor that will never come.
Damn it, Rob.
Yeah. So cool. So, let's go ahead and talk about the Transformers Cinematic Universe. So it seems like everybody is doing a Cinematic Universe now. Thanks, Marvel. And so Paramount has both G.I. Joe and Transformers. That's the only kind of Cinematic Universe that I think I could live with if they were to be put together.
If they put them together, they would have Mask, which would be an interesting addition to a shared universe.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, the foundation is already set in there. You've got the Mass Division in Prime that Agent Fowler knows about. You've got reverse-engineered Autobot technology there on Earth.
I think that I think that the universe is probably going to be in the movie universe, not in the universe.
But I'm just saying they could use the template there and just apply it to the cinematic universe.
I mean, they could. I mean, I think Michael Bay doesn't do a lot of research, so.
I mean, it's allergic to good ideas.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, if there's a whole cinematic universe thing happening where there's going to be, you know, numerous projects happening, Bay is not going to be attached to all of them.
It's true.
Yeah, that's,
like, it's going to fall to other people to develop ideas outside the core.
And we can't forget AllSpark Studios. So Hasbro is, you know, they want to have their hands in this stuff a little more than they've had before.
Yeah, the upshot of this to me is that, you know, a greater volume means a higher chance that one of these might eventually be good. That's not exactly an optimistic read on it, but I think that's about the best I can do at this point.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was thinking when this was announced. You all know that there's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it ties into the Marvel movie universe. Mm-hmm. And they also did the Agent Carter, which was kind of like a prequel to S.H.I.E.L.D. In this Transformers Cinematic Universe, if they're going to try a Beast Wars series, this is the place to try it. In the Cinematic Universe.
That's out of left field.
As a series that takes place on Earth before the Transformer universe as we know it unfolds. And they could do it like Agent Carter, where, and I'm going to use a very corny line, but I'm serious. The seeds of the future are buried in the past.
Okay.
The stuff that happens in this Beast Wars series can set up for future series.
Next maybe caller, please.
Hang on, I got to make a note here. Strangle Don at SpotCon. Okay.
Okay, so moving along.
What's wrong with that idea?
I expect that they'll probably delve more into the backstories of the existing characters, like Lockdown. Well, yeah, Lockdown. I have to think, was it Lockdown? But yeah, Lockdown. And, like, where he came from, where he went, where Optimus went, the Autobots that are on Earth. I expect it to just be a expansion on the characters that we already have. I don't really expect anything crazy like that.
Well, we do have, you know, all the characters they throw away in between every movie that we could go do something with.
That's a great point.
The ones they don't remember to kill off.
Don, what I'm saying
is... That's right. Skids and Mudflap, the movie.
What I'm saying, Don, is your idea is not crazy. It's that there is not enough...
Right,
give a damn with the production as it is right now to do anything that
well,
like that.
I'm just saying, if they wanted, like, at some point, they're going to need to do something different at some point. I'm saying they could use this to test the waters to see how a Beast Wars cinematic show would go over with the audience to see if there's any kind of hope of it being moved up to a movie at some point. I'm just saying.
Let's step back for a second. Go ahead. We'll go ahead, Rob. And then,
I think the problem there, Don, it would be one of budget. I mean, Marvel shows strain against their budgets, and they all use like actual people that you can film on screen.
Don's jumping to TV. I don't see this being TV to begin with. Marvel certainly didn't start with TV. That's
no, and if the film franchise idea works out the way they want it to, I absolutely could see them trying to do something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not Beast Wars, mind you, but, you know, something that's taking place in the same universe but can operate on a TV budget. I've been giving thought to this, too.
Not even just that. It's not even just operating within the budget. There's a timing perspective and a coordination that you have to do that it takes a lot of capital and a lot of expertise and, like, a true vision of what's happening. And, I mean, Marvel's been working at this crap for years to get to this point.
I don't see a live action TV show in this universe happening anytime soon.
Or cartoon.
You know,
it's too expensive.
So I've been giving this thought, and like they could Look, the point is though, like there's ways to get around some of the inherent difficulties with this. You know, does anybody remember the syndicated Teen Knight Rider from like 1999?
I try not to think about it.
Yeah.
You do something like that where the Autobot characters are almost always seen as cars. They talk, they're characters, but they're always represented just by props. You know, once, maybe twice a season, you get a robot character doing something and, you know, you have your special effects budget balanced to be able to do that, but most of the time you're focused on the human characters and the cars they're driving.
That sounds awful.
It says
it would have to be like, you know, it would have to be executed the right way, but there I think there would be there's legs under it for one so better time.
My thought for a feasible TV series was that they would do Sector 7. Bring back the man whose name I should know.
Simmons.
Yes, Simmons. The actor's name is the one that I couldn't remember.
Turturro.
Thank you.
So, I mean, it's going to start off slow. You know, one, like, Transformers 5 and then some other side thing that's not too far out and crazy that people will still go see. Maybe call it Transformers 5S or something. I don't know. I mean, something that's not going to be, like, something that they could still, you know, imagine, like, people going to see.
I just wonder, too, if they're not going to, like, you know, they're going to look at Guardians of the Galaxy and think, you know, how far out can we push this before it won't work?
Yeah.
And, like, that would be the situation where you would get a peripheral movie that's focused on, like, either a completely different group of characters than we've seen before, or use some of the discarded characters that didn't get killed off out in space somewhere having that kind of adventure.
Or something that something that takes place in the past. Or something that could take place in the future, or something that, you know, that would be easier to coordinate. Or they could just, you know, have a cinematic universe and then pretend like it's like wrestling or something, where they just ignore something. So go, that happened. Let's not mention
that. Isn't that what the current movies do anyway?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Well, if they did, you know, if they did the movie Transformers Galaxy Force, it doesn't even have to have any impact on what's going on in the main movie series because, you know, it's out in space. It's not really affecting anything in the core storyline. Yeah. Excuse me, storyline.
I guess if they do Sector 7, one of my personal fantasies, my Beast Wars is my more mainstream idea. But I would like to see if they do like that Sector 7.
Live action Transformers Miko?
No. I would like to see them incorporate some versions of the Neo Knights into Sector 7.
And Miko would be one of them?
And Verity another?
That's awesome. I love that, Don.
I'm saying, if Paramount wants a piece of the Marvel pie, you've got pre-established, empowered humans in the Transformers universe. Maybe not the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, in the Transformers Cinematic Universe, but they do exist as templates, and they could be worked into Sector 7 as enhanced humans.
Right. I mean, like what Age of Extinction did was really demonstrate that Transformers technology has proliferated in the human hands far enough that you can open up all kinds of stories just following on that, and not even have like real Decepticon involvement.
So I guess, I mean, in all honesty, and I don't mean to sound terrible, but this is really how I feel. This will just be expanded opportunities for product placement and maybe film one in another country that has a booming economy so that they can sell lots of tickets in that country.
I think it's just going to turn out to be Transformers is in the same shared universe as G.I. Joe and Battleship and whatever the hell else Hasbro owns.
I would be fine with that.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think a Transformers that being a thing.
Yeah, a Transformers G.I. Joe movie could work.
And I would be fine. I don't care if it doesn't work. As long as they try it, I would watch it.
No, like if they take the cinematic universe thing and use that to introduce what I'm going to call wackier concepts from Hasbro properties, and you know, use the established stuff of the G.I. Joe and Transformers universes to actually make that feasible. There's nothing wrong with that.
So let me just throw this out there, because if we're going to go crazy and throw out crazy ideas, and you probably know where I'm going. So what's the chance that they'll try to adapt Transformers versus G.I. Joe? I would love that.
The problem is, though, like they would set a date for the movie to go into theaters, and it wouldn't be there until 2 years later.
Yeah, or until, you know, like episode, they would have to actually write the what's going to happen in episode 7 into the script, because or issue 7.
Also, I don't think you could smuggle that many psychedelics into a boardroom, even in Hollywood.
I know. I would love that.
Plus, like, would weaponized magenta really play on big screen as well as it does in a comic page?
I don't know. It'd be great.
I'd like to see them try.
I think it'd be great. But no, like, so dreaming big, Don is absolutely right. I would love to see a Beast Wars something, or, you know, something different, mini cons, Planet Beast. I mean, anything, who knows? But realistically,
that'd be kind of tough though, because the current movies have kind of conditioned the movie going audience into the Michael Bay world of pretty fast cars and explosions and
yeah.
I mean, you would definitely have to do some transitional work in 5 and maybe 6 to get the audiences conditioned to a point where, okay, this is a little bit different, but it's still interesting.
Yeah, I don't expect to dream big. I expect to try to, you know, squeeze something out. Oh, God. That's more appropriate than I meant. And basically just, you know, put something out there. I'm done. That's it. I don't have anything to add to that.
So you're going to drop it now?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Anybody have any other comments or thoughts around this?
The topic went right down the toilet, didn't it?
Yeah.
Transformers Stealth Force. It's a good show.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would, just going back to what Don said, I would love to see something Beast Wars. But, yeah, I don't see it.
You know, like I said, you know, that this will be my last word on it. Anything that breaks us out of the format and the director and the writers that Transformers movies have had up to now, you know, any chance to get some kind of variety in this and make it not awful anymore would be appreciated.
Okay,
so that's my hope.
So I'll just say this. So if I remember correctly, Fast and the Furious 6 was actually received fairly positively at the, you know, by critics. Right now, Fast 7 is like an 87 on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's gotten better. I think it's gotten better and more preposterous as time's gone on. It's entirely possible that, you know, best case scenario, the Transformers movies do that too, and they might become self-aware and, you know, realize what they are.
Well, I mean, didn't they start doing that with Age of Extinction, though? Like, they totally were self-aware with Optimus through that whole movie.
But the problem is it went on too long, and
I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm just saying, like, they're starting down the road you're describing as it is.
Let's hope. Okay, guys, I don't have anything else. Anybody have anything before we wrap up this week?
Nope.
Haven't we done enough?
Yeah, I know.
I just wanted to give another shout-out to Fans Toys for sending this and letting me review it. And it's amazing how awesome this thing is. Like, you definitely, if you want Masterpiece figures, this is, you're going to want to pick him up.
And check out your review. It's at our YouTube channel, Radio Free Cybertron.
I posted
YouTube.
A bunch of video reviews. There's Masterpiece Star Saber. There's Exhaust. There's Blackjack.
You got a couple,
just went up today.
Legends.
Yeah, there's Huffer, which has alternate gun storage, or unofficial gun storage. So there's a bunch of things up there.
Very cool. So don't stop the show yet, because we still have our interview with Colin Douglas from TFCon. And that'll come on just as soon as we are finished here. Well, this is literally the end for me this week, guys, of the show. Not like, you know, doing
well,
this
drink and a little more caffeine and it might be bold.
True. But so this is we're going to sign off here and end the show with our interview with Colin Douglas from TFCon.
And be sure to go check out Fanboy versus Transformers this week for the interview with James Roberts.
Yes, do that.
It's excellent.
So this interview with Colin has actually been edited down. It's the highlights. The full interview will be available as RSC Extra next week. So for more detailed information around TFCon, check that out. But I think all the information you really need to know, it's included here. So for the guys, I'm Brian Kilby. We will be back next week.
Take care, everybody.
See you guys.
Later.
See you later.
Colin, for the people who don't know, who are you and what is TFCon?
TFCon is the largest Transformers collectors convention in the world. It's been running since 2002 in the Toronto area. And last year, TFCon expanded into the U.S. with TFCon Chicago. And this year, we'll have TFCon in Toronto in July, and then in Charlotte this October.
What can people expect at the normal TFCon? Like, what events do you normally have each year?
Well, basically, Friday starts out with registration, which we're happy to get people through very quickly. Following that, we're able to have a nice little karaoke session in the bar. So we might see something like that in Charlotte this year. We'll see whether or not the layout for the Charlotte Hotel looks to be able to accommodate something like that. So that would be free to anybody that's coming to the convention that weekend. And then bar night on Friday night with the karaoke. Lots of people hanging out, getting to know each other, getting to see their old friends again. Saturday morning, we start up with the dealer room at 9 o'clock, and it runs all day. We've got lots of fan panels, costume contests, custom contests, voice actor competition. So people get a chance to audition for a chance to actually read a script with the voice actors that are at the convention.
So there was a big announcement about the Toronto convention recently. You're going to have a pretty special guest, I hear.
Yeah, it's a guy that most Transformers fans are probably somewhat familiar with, Mr. Peter Cullen. It's somebody that I wanted to get last year, but the timing didn't really work out for everything happening. So we postponed it till this year. I was able to make the big announcement earlier this year, and actually the response was a lot better than I was even expecting. A lot of excitement there, but which is to be anticipated with Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, finally coming to TFCon after all these years. People have been asking for it, and we finally were able to make it happen.
So, Diecast, was TFCon was your second Transformers convention, right?
My second official Transformers convention.
Well, completely Transformers. So Shardacon was your first, and TFCon was your second.
Yes.
So I guess that actually sort of leads us into a little bit TFCon USA, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina this year. And how did you land on Charlotte?
Well, there's a lot of different factors. We kind of look around at different hotels in different cities, and kind of there's always a lot of different options that come into it. But I would say that you guys, everyone should thank David Cunningham. He's the one that came to me and said, you know, we had Charticon here. We've got the fan base. We've got people willing to run this convention, but we need somebody to help organize us. And I looked at it, and ultimately, when I showed up at the hotel, he was already there waiting for me to arrive. I didn't give him much notice, and he was there on a whim. I would say that his enthusiasm towards wanting to bring another Transformers convention back to Charlotte is one of the major catalysts in this happening.
Yeah, so Dave's, of course, a friend of mine, and love that guy. And when I saw him at TFCon, he told me that he was going to approach you about that. And I thought, honestly, no way, dude. There's no way that TFCon's going to come to Charlotte. But when that announcement happened, actually, I was speaking with Jake, one of the organizers of Charticon, a couple weekends ago at his store in Charlotte. And I was asking, hey, you know, Charticon, what can you do to come back? How can I help? What can I do to help make that happen? It's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. You really probably need to speak to Dave. Right now, Charticon.com is pointing to TFCon. I'm like, huh, okay. And next day, the announcement happened. And
Their web hosting kind of ended before we were able to make the announcement. I just told Dave to, you know what, nobody will probably notice, but apparently they did. Nobody said anything, which is kind of funny. the story would have just been ShardedCon's throwing their support towards TFCon.
That's right? How I took it.
And that's what I assumed people would think. So just if anybody asked, which no one did, but that was the plan, was to redirect to the TFCon site anyway. So just kind of happened slightly earlier than anticipated.
Well, I mean, Charlotte's a great area. I've been down there two or three times now because of ShardedCon and because of another JoeCon that we went to where we ended up driving down to Atlanta. But the weather should be great that time of year, and you can get cheer wine locally. And we actually traded some cheer wine, or we gave Aaron Archer a cheer wine, and he ended up talking with us for like half hour, 45 minutes at ShardedCon. So you definitely have to try that when you're down in that area because it's specific to that area.
It's pretty great.
I'm kind of interested in Toronto. I live right outside of Philly, so if I wanted to, I think it would be like seven or eight hours to drive.
Yeah, it'd be
up
like
to
an 8-hour drive. I've driven to Jersey a couple of times, and I drove to New York City in 2005 for the CyberCon Expo as well. Yeah, it's about that was about a 9-hour drive, including like stops for food and gas and bathroom breaks and stuff. Right, so it's not a bad drive at all.
I'm kind of curious. It's right before my birthday, so it would be kind of just like a.
You should
go
gift
up
yourself.
And celebrate.
Yes.
Yeah. What else can you tell us that you're going to have this year at TFCon Toronto?
Well, on the Sunday of the convention, we kind of have more than just Transformers. So we have like a local 501st coming in and. A lot of other, so we have like a section outside the main dealer room that people set up just on the Saturday with, if people are just doing like single tables for the one day. And then on Sunday, we actually have like a kind of a relaunch of that area with some other dealers. And a lot of some of the dealers in the main hall actually reset their space with more kind of 80s themed toys as well. So we have had like different guests and different, you'll see like a different kind of crowd around. So a lot of people kind of like that aspect of the Sunday, and some people end up spending more on the Sunday than they do on the Saturday just because they're finding all these different old school gems that they wouldn't necessarily find at any other convention.
I remember Proto Man telling me that at TFCon USA last year, and I was curious if that was going to happen. I don't know that it really sort of came about so much in Chicago, but will you be doing that in Charlotte?
We're kind of in some discussion with a couple different groups that are kind of 80s themed. So we might be able to incorporate that because it kind of gives the Sunday a different feel and kind of a reboot. So there are some people that we're talking to right now. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not we can make that happen. But there's already some pretty good contacts out there.
I really enjoy the exclusives. I enjoy when there's, you know, good panels. Like I like the third party panel.
Well, we definitely have we'll have a bigger room for the panel. I don't know if you guys were packed in to that room.
Like sardines, yeah, but
it was people into the hallway. We couldn't fit everybody into that room. And again, more people than we anticipated, but in Charlotte we've got a really good size room, so we shouldn't have any issues with volume of people trying to get seats this time.
So ShardedCon, even though it was their first outing, they had a ton of people, and with the power of TFCon behind the convention and the location, man, I expect a lot of people here, so it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think I just like. When Chicago was announced, it was a little bit bigger response than I was expecting. And I got that same feel for Charlotte as well. So once registration goes online for dealers and attendees, we should be able to get a pretty good feel as to how many people are going to be coming to the show. And when people do pre-reg, it kind of helps me planning and like, okay, well, if we've got this many registrations, then we can kind of anticipate that I can bring in another guest type scenario, right? So it definitely helps when people do pre-register for the convention.
Awesome. So definitely people out there, pre-register if you want to go. I mean, it's easy. It's a really easy process.
Yeah, it takes like a minute.
Yeah, do that first.
Because, you know, I think a lot of people have the tendency to book the hotel room and then kind of wait till the end of registration to register. Register right away.
Yeah, register right away.
Do you know when we should start looking for pre-registration for Charlotte? Or that's probably going to be after TFCon Toronto?
No, it'll probably go online next month.
Sweet.
Okay.
Awesome. And next month being April. This,
that's right.
Yeah, this, we're recording this in March, and the episode will go up in April.
Yes.
So, well, very cool, Colin. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. Hopefully when we have more details about TFCon, would you be interested in coming back on?
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.